This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You that we've been justified by faith, by Thy blood, and by Thy grace. And our Father, we thank You for this faith that has been given unto us. We may lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ as our very own. And we do pray that Thou wilt work in our hearts, in our midst, in our radio audience this day, that saving faith will be granted, hearts will be opened, and Thy Spirit will make Christ precious and real to each and every heart. Guide us and lead us, and get to Thyself glory in this hour, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings.
amid the conflict, whether great or small. Do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We do indeed appreciate hearing from each and every one of you. We're happy that you're with us today and pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. Our free book that we're offering this month is entitled The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. All who have read it down through the centuries have said it was the greatest work that the great reformer ever turned out. He begins to show from the Word of God that the freedom of the human will must be affected by the sovereign grace of God before any man can be saved. Luther affirms the grace of a sovereign God and that man is totally unable to save himself. It is a book I would like to put in each and every one of your hands. For the reformer, Martin Luther goes in and shows the bondage of the will and how it must be freed by God the Holy Spirit. That which we've been preaching on this broadcast for many and many a year. This book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. It's a book of nearly 400 pages or over. I want you to read it. Would you write for it today? It's yours. Ask for it by name, The Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. I've been impressed by the Holy Spirit to bring a series of messages on saving faith. These messages follow the 14 which we closed last week on decision for Christ. What does it mean? And I felt led that since faith is the vital link between our soul and the living God in salvation, that it would behoove each and every one of us to know what true saving faith is and how this faith is produced in the soul by the Holy Spirit. And since in so many of our past messages on the past series, we showed you from Scripture that it teaches that many possess a faith that is not saved and that it's then worked up by their own wills and that it does not and has not saved them. Then I would like to lay before you the truth of God's Word, praying that God will search out our hearts and let us know if this faith, which is a gift from God, has been given unto us by the Holy Spirit. You see, it has pleased God by the medium of faith to reveal His salvation to every seeking, repenting soul. For faith is the means by which we lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the means by which we receive from Him all the benefits that He purchased for us as poor sinners in His death, burial, and resurrection. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, shows that we are saved and justified only by faith in the living God, in His substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by faith that it might be by grace. Now let's look at a few scriptures to show, out of the many, many that are given in the book, that God has ordained by faith to save those who believe. Listen to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Ephesians 2:89 reads, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then speaking about the faith that Abraham possessed, and he is the father of the faithful, it is said, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. And then that blessed scripture into Romans 5:1, Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We could multiply these over and over again, showing you that true saving faith is needed if any soul is ever to be saved. And this faith is the means by which we lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the means by which we draw from Him all that He has done for us in His great work of redemption. It is the appropriation of this faith by which God saves us. So in this series of messages, I would endeavor by the help of the Holy Spirit to lay before our hearts what true saving faith is and how it is given to us and how it is used by us to close in savingly with the Lord Jesus. I believe I can open this subject up to our hearts, and I trust that God will use it by showing you that there are four essential elements or ingredients in saving faith. First of all, there is a yielding to the authority of God, a submitting myself to His rule and to what He teaches in His precious Word. Second, I believe the Scripture teaches that true saving faith is a genuine coming to Christ. We come to Him and cast ourselves upon Him, leaving all other hopes and helps behind. I would say third that true saving faith consists of the complete surrender of my whole being and life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All of this is included in saving faith. And then fourth, and this will be the one which we will spend most of our time on because I think it has the ingredients and elements of all of them. I would say that saving faith is a believing on Christ with the heart, with the affections and with the will, or with the whole man. Will you listen as we go into these elements of saving faith? My dear friend, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will take His word home to each and every one of our hearts. I want you to understand that it is vital that we have this true saving faith. For if our faith is defective, then we are deceived, and this deception is going to prove fatal. And we showed you this over and over and proved to you from the Scriptures. And our last 14 messages on decision for Christ, what does it mean? That if a man's faith is deceptive, is defective, then it's deceptive and it is fatal. So if you value your never-dying soul, I want you to listen. And especially you precious souls who are lost, you whom the Holy Spirit has awakened, I want you to listen so that you may know what true saving faith is, and that you may ask the Lord that by His Holy Spirit this will be worked in you. For you see, you have a promise to this effect in Colossians 2:12, where we read that you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. So if faith is the operation of God, it is the operation of the Spirit of God in the heart, And true saving faith is produced by this operation in the heart. And beloved, this is what we want, and this is what we need, and we have this promise. Colossians 2:12, God is able to effect it in us. And unto you who have never tested your faith by the Word of God, I desire that you will listen also, to see if, as Titus 1 tells us, you have the faith of God's elect. All right, let's look at the first one then. I said that the first essential element or ingredient of saving faith is a yielding to the authority of God, a submitting of myself to His rule and to His Word. And I'm sure you want to ask, why is this necessary? And I answer, because of what we are by nature. And I hear you coming back, Pastor, what do you mean by that statement? Well, Romans 8:7 tells us that every one of us by nature are enmity against God. We are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, except God work in our heart. Therefore, to come to Christ savingly, I must hoist the white flag of surrender and bow to His authority. Are you listening? I, a rebel, who have spent my life, my whole lifetime in self-will, self-pleasing, self-indulgence, and who has lived in rebellion against the authority of God, must of necessity forsake my self-will and my rebellion against Him if ever I am saved by His grace. You see, it stands to reason that no earthly king forgives and pardons a criminal or a rebel as long as he stands out in rebellion against Him. So the heavenly King never forgives and pardons a spiritual criminal who deserves hell until that rebel forsakes his self-will and rebellion against God. My friend, this is so essentially brought out in Isaiah 55:7, where we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And as Proverbs 28:13 reads, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." In both of these scriptures we find that God will pardon, and He will do it abundantly. He will have mercy, and that willingly, but only to those who come confessing and forsaking their sins in their way. I want you to listen to the gracious invitation of Isaiah 1:18. It reads, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Yes, our gracious, sovereign God invites us to come. He invites us to reason with Him about our sins and about our eternal destiny. Yes, He will surely forgive us in Christ. Forgive every one of our sins that we confess. Yea, all of our sins. But my dear friend, to come to Him in such a way is to submit to His authority and to His rule. I praise the Lord that He will say rebels, but only if they hoist the white flag of surrender and bow to His feet in repentance. So you see, my friend, that this is a far cry from giving a mental assent to a process of logic by some preacher or personal worker or even yourself as you reason yourself into so-called salvation. You see, your will must be broken for you to be willing to submit to the authority of God and to the authority of God's Word that you are the sinner that God tells you that you are. No man will do this apart from God breaking his heart by the Holy Spirit. You see, your will must be broken for you to be willing to submit to the authority of God. Your heart must be broken for you to confess unto the living God that you are truly a self-righteous, rebellious criminal. Nothing short of divine power will cause you to bow to the authority of God and to His Word. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit makes us willing, and the day of His power, and that's the reason I preach, with the assurance that God is going to call all of those for whom Christ died. I said in the second place that an essential element of saving faith is a genuine coming to Christ. Oh, what a beautiful and precious invitation we have in Matthew 11:28. We hear our Lord saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This gracious invitation of a gracious Lord and Savior is most blessed to those who are in labor and are heavy laden because of sin. It is given to those who know themselves to be sinners, hell-deserving sinners, and who are willing to take His yoke upon them and follow Christ. Watch it now. But to come to Christ means that something has to be left behind. For Matthew 1:21 reads, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Not in their sins, mind you, but from their sins. So we see here that a true coming to Christ for salvation means that I am willing to leave my sins and follow Christ. And all of this enters into true saving faith. For if I'm not willing to leave my sins, how am I going to trust Christ to cleanse me from my sins? Let me illustrate this. If I say that I came to Pensacola, Florida 4 years ago, and I did, then I necessarily indicate that I left someplace else to come here, and I did. Litchfield, Minnesota. And thus it is in coming to Christ. Something has to be left. It is your sins. It is your idols. For you see, coming to Christ not only involves the abandoning of every false object of confidence, but it also includes and entails the forsaking of all other competitors for my heart. Listen to Luke 14:17, where we read the gracious invitation, "Come, for all things are now ready." But listen to verses 18, 19, and 20. "And they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." We see here that there were competitors for the hearts and affections of those invited, therefore they would not come. And so it is with you, my sinner friend, if you're not willing to close in with Christ in true saving faith. There is a competitor. And what is it? I ask the question, what is it? What is the competitor of your heart and affection that has kept you from closing and saving me with Christ? Is it your evil heart of unbelief? Is it your allegiance to your church, your religion? Is it your wife or your husband or children? Is it your love of sin, your self-righteousness, your pride? My friend, is it some sweet, secret sin that you're not willing to let go? Or is it your false profession that you made, that you cannot give up? Oh, I cannot go back on that. Are you going to hang on to some decision you made and go to hell with it? I ask, is it your riches that is a competitor? Is it your love of pleasure? Remember, whatever it is, it must be forsaken and left to follow Christ. And only then can saving faith, true saving faith, lay hold of Christ. For you cannot lay hold of Christ and sin at the same time. You cannot lay hold of Christ and some other competitor. Yes, the course of self-will must be abandoned. Remember, the prodigal son of Luke 15 could not come to his father while he remained in the far country. He had to forsake his way, his hog pen, his slop bucket, and his hogs. He had to come empty-handed back to his father, and so will you come empty-handed when you come to Christ. I hear some precious soul crying out, "Pastor, it is hard to leave those things that have been dearer than life to me. It would be like cutting off a right hand or plucking out a right eye to give up my way and my friends and my family and my loved ones and my pleasure and my ambitions and my stocks and bonds and my secret sins." Yes, I know it's hard. But they must be forsaken or you will never have Christ. And my friend, to miss Christ is to go to hell. You see, that is the reason I've been telling you on this broadcast for years. And it takes the power of God's Holy Spirit to break our hearts, to turn us away from sin, to make us willing to leave all to follow Him. But, beloved, this is not my word. Our Lord Himself said in Luke 14:33, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And it is just because the gate is straight and the way is narrow that few are willing to enter into it. It is because of the fact that you must die to self that the majority of people today seek the easy way and walk the broad way that leads to hell. And you ask, what is the easy way? It's free believingism, a gospel of only believe and all is well, a way that makes no demands of repentance or the breaking of the heart before God. It does not make you mourn over your evil heart of unbelief or the way you have treated a holy and a righteous God. Nope. Makes no demands upon you. Come on. But you got to leave all other lovers. I wonder, after I married my wife, we married 40 years next month, the Lord willing. But supposing about 6 weeks after we got married, she said to me, "Honey, you know, I forgot to tell you, but I made a promise to Jim, who I used to go out with, that every 6 week I would have spent a weekend with him. Would that be okay with you?" What do you think my reaction to all of that would be? How long do you think I'd put up with that? Not the first time. Why? Well, she didn't love me. She hadn't left all lovers. She couldn't be in love with me if she's got somebody else. And my friend, this is the way God deals with our souls. There has to be the letting go of sin, the denying myself of all competitors. I rest on no work. I rest on no other hope, no righteousness, nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come to Him empty-handed, yielding myself wholly and completely up to Him. For He's the Savior of sinners, nobody else. And this is what saving faith is all about. It is coming to rest whole and completely upon Christ and Him alone. And I'll have no other lovers, no other competitors for my affection, for time and for eternity. For I'm closing in with Christ for Him to be my all in all. To not only be my sin bearer, but the lover of my never dying soul. My friend, would you like copies of these messages? We'd be happy to send them to you if you would write us. Ask for them by name, Saving Faith. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32504. We want you to write us and pray the blessings of our gracious Lord to rest upon you. Goodbye, and may God bless you.